Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
If I say the words D-A-R, the letters D-A-R, what is that describing? Does anybody know? Daughters of the American Revolution. I was telling a gentleman earlier, I may have been born in California, but I was raised in Georgia. Having a hallelujah, amen there? Amen. Uh-oh, somebody's cane fell. In the South, when I was growing up, we used to have this writing contest. And it was sponsored by the Daughters of the Confederacy. It's sort of a similar version of the Daughters of the American Revolution, but it's closer to God. We all know that, right? And they had this writing contest, and you could not refer to the insurrection of 1861 to 1865 as the Civil War. Now, you could sometimes call it the war between the states. It might be one way you could refer to it. But you were guaranteed to get your paper reviewed if you would call it the War of Northern Aggression. Come on, loosen up. Loosen up. Roy's laughing. Roy caught it. There was a great deal of tension between the Samaritans and the Jews, much similar to the tension that may have existed in the South post the war between the states, or the War of Northern Aggression, or as it's commonly mistaught, the Civil War. But there was tension between those groups. The northern tribes had been conquered by the Assyrians, and this small remnant had been left there that we called Samaritans. While the Jews were off in Babylon, they decided they had a different place they were going to worship, not in Jerusalem, but somewhere else. They decided that the five books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Torah, were the sacred scripture, and that the other stuff was just commentary on that. Judas Maccabeus didn't make things a lot better by the fact that about the second century BC, he left Jerusalem and went to their temple and knocked it all down, destroyed it. To say that there was tension between the Samaritans and the Jews would be an understatement. To say that there was tension between the northern states and the southern states between 1861 and 1865 would be an understatement. Last week we started the passage off with from John, and we started off with verse 4. The verse 4 said something along the lines of, and Jesus had to go across Samaria. No, he didn't. He didn't geographically have to go across Samaria. He could have easily gotten from Judea up to home in Galilee by going around Samaria. And that was the traditional way that people that were Jewish might go to Galilee. They wouldn't go across Samaria. But John is telling us that Jesus had to go across Samaria. He's making a theological statement, not a geographical one. You might ask yourself the question, why would he be doing that? I would point back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The message of Jesus was not a message to be isolated only to the Jews. And you get this first telling of the Jesus story to non-Jews by going to the Samaritans. The woman at the well is interesting, extremely interesting. You've had John 3, which is this whole conversation involving Jesus and Nicodemus, occurs at nighttime. Nicodemus is a learned scholar. He doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't seem to understand exactly what it is that Jesus is talking about. He eventually gets it. Towards the end, we have evidence that Nicodemus will get it. But now you have this conversation occurring between Jesus and an outcast. She's an outcast because she's a Samaritan. She's an outcast because she's a woman. She might even be an outcast because of this conversation that Jesus would have with her about five husbands. Now, let's have a theological conversation for a second here. We have heard, many of us, I'm sure, sermons about how this woman is a person of dubious character, maybe even borderline prostitute. We've certainly all heard those words. And when we hear those words, we're hearing those words, we're making that argument from silence. Jesus doesn't say she's a person of dubious character. He just calls to attention the fact that she's had five husbands. In that particular world, it would be very easy for five men to have divorced her. We were talking about it a couple of weeks ago in the Lenten Bible study on Wednesday, and Bill turned around to Sharon and he said, "This is how easy it was to divorce somebody. I divorce you." It's almost that simple. Now, she couldn't have done the same thing to the men, but the men could do that to the woman. So instead of maybe treating her as a person of perhaps dubious character, maybe we can instead treat her as one more person that society has said, "We reject you. You're an outcast." And she comes to the well. Not like Nicodemus at night. She comes to the well in daylight, but she doesn't come to the well at a time when others are there. She comes to the well at a time when she is alone. And she has this encounter with Jesus. Admittedly, the conversation, like with the conversation with Nicodemus, starts off with a flawed understanding. Nicodemus doesn't get it, and for as we can tell throughout John 3, he doesn't get it at all. The lady here, on the other hand, the woman at the well, seems to start off with some misunderstandings, but she gets a little excited. She gets a little encouraged. She begins to get some wisdom from this. And the first thing that she says to Jesus is, "How do you worship?" You have a chance to talk to Jesus. Think about this. You're sitting at the well with Jesus, and Jesus is going to be there, and he's going to give you the words of wisdom about how to be a person of God. And what do you ask? You ask, "How is it you worship? How do I worship you?" I think it's a pretty darn good question myself. Do I have an amen to that one? Amen. How do I worship you? And Jesus says, the nature of what you think about how you worship is not exactly what God wants us to do. God is spirit. God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And so the disciples show back up and they're just aghast. A woman's talking to our Jesus. They want to keep their Jesus protected, not contaminated, not messed up by maybe saying the Civil War instead of the war between the states or something like that. And so they're sitting there all concerned, and she's so excited about what has happened. She leaves her pail there and she runs off to go tell other people, but she doesn't go off and tell them, "I got it all figured out." Listen to the words that Blair read. She said, "Can this be the Messiah? Is it possible that this might be the Messiah?" They come because of curiosity. They come because of the woman's words, and she encourages them to come, and they arrive and they sit at the foot of Jesus, and what happens? They ask him to stay two more days. And the Samaritans, they get it. They understand. They turn around and say, "Surely you are the Savior of the world." John 3:16 lived out one more time. That message doesn't apply only to 2,000 years ago. That message applies to us today, here in 2014, on March the 30th. Is that what the day is, March the 30th? Now, I'm mindful of where we live. I haven't lived here my whole life. I'm mindful of where we live. I know we start to talk about evangelism and sharing our enthusiasm for Jesus, our excitement for Jesus with others. We think about people riding around on bicycles with white shirts and name tags and ringing our doorbell. Come on, confess. Confess. At least one or two of you thought that out there. Am I right? Do I have an amen?
Amen.
I'm mindful of the culture we live in. But here's the invitation that I want us to maybe take. Jesus invited the outcast. She was the one who seemed to get it. She wasn't the one who was lined up properly with all the studies. She wasn't a man. She wasn't somebody who showed up at night. She was somebody who maybe had been rejected by five men. Maybe somebody that the Jews had said was an outcast because she was a Samaritan. My goodness gracious, she was even a woman! And Jesus sent her off to proclaim the good news of how it is that you maybe just go about worshiping God. You worship God in spirit and in truth. She moves from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness. Wow. What a great message. Moves from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness. Now, what might this story be saying to us in 2014? John Schmick said during the Sunday school class this morning, you want to clear a church out fast, all you got to do is mention the words evangelism. People will run to the doors. Okay, you hadn't run to the doors yet. It's good. Here's my invitation to you on behalf of Jesus this morning. My invitation to you is to invite others to worship with you. And I'm not saying you need to ride around on a bicycle with a white t-shirt on, wearing a name tag, pushing on strangers' doorbells. I'm not saying that at all. I am inviting you, however, to find friends, find relatives, find acquaintances, find neighbors that maybe, just maybe, could be strengthened, could move from a place of brokenness in their lives to a place of wholeness here at, if not Hilltop, at South Mountain. If not here at Hilltop or South Mountain, maybe at Community of Grace. If not here at Hilltop or South Mountain or Community of Grace, maybe over at Mountain Vista. Or maybe at some other church where you know they will find the Word of God that will make them whole in spirit and in truth. This Christmas, we did a Christmas oratorio, Christmas concert with Crescent Ridge Steak. There were people that had been invited here by members of Hilltop United Methodist Church. Juvie Hobbs invited one of her neighbors to come who had some experience in Midvale, had some experience with Hilltop, and she invited them to come be part of the life of this church. Several weeks ago, we were here, and there was, I think it was in February at some point in time, and the Garrisons had invited a family that lived near them that were members of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and they had invited them here. We weren't trying to convert them from Mormonism to Methodism. But it was an honest opportunity to show them how we worship. Is it bad? Is it bad that in Salt Lake County there is a Mormon family out there that can sit down and when they encounter someone who has moved here from Tennessee or Texas? No, nobody moves here from Texas, do they? Okay, I'm sorry. Moved here from Tennessee or Texas or Georgia, and they say, I'm looking for a good church. And they say, I know a good church. Is that bad? I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. So my invitation for you there is to be like the lady. Be like the woman at the well. What does she do? She leaves her bucket there because she's so excited she wants to run off and go tell the gospel. Leave whatever it is that keeps you from being excited on behalf of God. Leave it there at the well and go tell that story. Now, I know some of you may, this may be too radical a step for you to do. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look around the room real quick. I want you to spend about 10 seconds looking around the room while I'm talking. And who's not here today? Who's not here today? And as you think about it, you say to yourself, not only are they not here today, I haven't seen them in 6 weeks. I'm going to call them and invite them to come back to Hilltop. I may even invest 47 cents. Is that what a stamp is nowadays? 49 cents. You can tell how many email notes I send. 49 cents. I may even invest 49 cents and sit down and write them a note and say, you know what? We have missed you at Hilltop United Methodist Church. They may feel like they're outcasts. They may feel they're not welcome. And maybe the gesture of you doing that will invite them back. Jesus invites us to be in relationship with God in spirit and in truth. Jesus rejects the idea that there's a specific location where that occurs. If that location is Hilltop, great. If that location is Christ, great. If that location is Mountain Vista, great. If that location is South Mountain, great. If that location is Community of God, Community of Grace, fantastic. Just be one of those agents. Be like the woman at the well and leave your bucket there at the well and be willing to be excited on behalf of God and go out into the world and tell somebody else about how on fire you are for God. Being excited for Jesus is good stuff. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Jesus is excited for us.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.